بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر سبيل وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثروا هذه من لذات الموت كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم Respected brothers and sisters of Islam, in this verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us that every soul will taste the death. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَا أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And certainly, you will be rewarded whatever actions and a'mal and deeds you have performed and done during your lifetime in Qiyamah, in hereafter. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ A person who will be protected from the hellfire and get entry into the paradise, in reality, that person will be successful. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ And what is the life of this world? Is just the deception. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that you must stay in this world like a traveler or a person who's crossing the road from this side to that side. How long it takes to cross the road, very, very few minutes. That is the life in this world compared to hereafter. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, come here, come and sit in the middle. Boys, Hamdan, come here. Don't sit on the road. Come, sir. Akthiru hadhi min lazzat. That you must remember a cutter of the pleasure. A destroyer of the pleasure. And what is that? Al-maut. That's the death. And that is why in one of the hadith it comes that if a person is remembering his death every day 20 times, it's not difficult. If you remember your death continuously 20 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you the reward of the shaheed. To become a martyr, a person has to go to the battlefield, fight with kuffar and sacrifice his life. Then he will become shaheed. Here, we don't have to go to the battlefield. We don't have to fight with any enemy. Just remember your death. And there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you the reward of death. That's how important it is to remember your death. We are so unmindful and indulge in worldly affairs and activities of this dunya that we don't remember, and certain times we don't want to remember. It's so scary for us. If someone is talking, we are having majlis, gathering, cracking the jokes, and someone comes and just say talk about the death, we get scared. We say, oh brother, we just came for enjoyment, we just came for the cup of coffee. Don't mention about death right now. You're going to destroy our enjoyment. Immediately, automatically, when a person is thinking or saying about death, his pleasure cut off there and there. Love for dunya is disappeared immediately because just remembering the death. It's so powerful. It is so effective. Ulama explain, we have three worlds. Number one, our beginning starts from the Alam-e-Arwah. It comes in the riwayat that when Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was created, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put his hand on the back of the Adam alayhi salam, and all the righteous souls come out from Adam alayhi salam's back. Then the second time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put his hand onto the back of the Adam alayhi salam, and also wicked ruhs, those who are non-believers, kuffar, mushrikeen, sinners, those ruh and souls came out. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered all the arwah, all the souls. And that is called alam-e arwah, the world of the soul. And there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questioned to the all the souls, Alastu bi rabbikum? Am I not your sustainer? I am not your Rabb? All the souls collectively, unanimously declare bala, kalu bala. They all admitted that yes, you are our sustainer, you are our Lord. So ulama said that is the alam arwah, and in that souls, they were the soul of Fir'aun, Namrud, Hitler, and all the kuffar and mushrikeen and atheists. They all has admitted and declared that yes, Allah, we believe in you. You are our sustainer and you are our Lord. So that was the alam-e arwah, and that is the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala educated us about his rububiyat and about his lordship, that I am your creator, I am your sustainer, I am your malik. And then when you learn something, you get a degree, diploma in the university, college. After getting diploma, degree, what you do? You come to the field. So this is the dunya. It is called Darul Amal, the place of work. So whatever we have learned in Alam-e Arwah, in this world, we have to practice accordingly. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you the time period. You have 60 years, 70 years, 100 years. Whatever you have learned and admitted in Alam-e Arwah, in this world, don't forget it. Learn, practice according to what you have committed and declare in hereafter. So this is our second world, Darul Amal. And then after the death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to transfer us in Maidan Hashar, in Yawmul Qiyamah, day of resurrection, day of reckoning, Maliki Yawmiddin. And there, that will be imtihan, that will be examination, and that will be the reward ceremony. We have studied the whole year, now you are graduated. Whatever you have done in this world, whether good or bad, you will get the reward and your report of the actions and deed and amal in the Yawm-e Hashar. And according to your amal, according to your actions, according to your belief in iman, in amal-e salih, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of judgment, is going to decide whether you're entitled to go into paradise or you have to go to the hell. So that is the Yawmul Qiyamah. And that the alam hereafter, and that is the alam, and that is the world to get the reward or get the punishment. So these are the three different worlds. Ulama explained, since our ruh comes out into existence, there are five stages we have to go through, every soul, five stages. Number one, we were in alam arwah. From there we came to the back of the father's spinal. From there we transfer into the womb of mother. We spend 9 months over there. From there we came into this dunya. And from this dunya, passing our time, our period, our life, we transfer from this world to the different world, which is called Alam-e Barzakh, unseen alam, totally different than this world. There is no sun, there is no moon in Alam-e Barzakh. So time period, as we are familiar to in this world, day and night, changing of the seasons, is not happening in Alam-e Barzakh. One straight time, And there is no sun setting, no sun rising, no nothing. We cannot imagine, we cannot comprehend what is happening in Alam-e Barzakh in this dunya while we are alive. And then from Alam-e Barzakh, whatever period Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided for us, till the second trumpet will be blown by Israfil alayhi salam. After the second trumpet, every soul will be revived. And it is not like we came this world through the womb of mother. There, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send some very special kind of rain. And because of that rain, like a grass is coming up from the earth, likewise every soul from his grave will come out and become alive. That is the second life. With regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran, مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةٌ أُخْرَى. We have created you from the soul. We are going to send you back into the soul after your death. And we are going to resurrect you from this soul on the Yawmul Qiyamah. That is the second resurrection from the graves after the second trumpet will blow. Can you
please? It's fixed actually. Huh? It works in working fine.
It's making noise. No,
the
no.
Sound?
Yeah.
The sound due to...
I don't know. So... So you can off this fan.
Yeah.
So... This is what going to happen. We all will rise up on the second trumpet, all from their own graves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to gather us into Maidane Mahshar. And then the reckoning and hisab will start. So there are three things, my brothers and sisters. Listen attentively. Very important, we got very short time. One is our body. One is our soul. And one is our nafs. Ruh, nafs and the body. Allah give the example, it's just like a car. We all have cars, alhamdulillah. We are driving every day. It's a very simple example to understand. A car is our body made out of sand. Nafs is the driver. And the driver has ability that he can drive whether rightly according to following the rules of the traffic, or he can drive roughly without following the rules. It's up to the driver. But because he is driving the car, he is responsible. If breaking the traffic rules and traffic police is going to catch him, he is answerable in the court of judge that he violated the rules. He is a driver. Our nafs is our driver. And the fuel of the car is the ruh. وَنَفَقْتُ مِنْ رُوحِ فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Adam alayhi salam with his own hand with the sand. And the statue was lying for a period of time, 40 days, 4 months, Allah knows best. Angels were surrounding there. Iblis came and he observed, what is this new model? He went inside the Adam alayhi salam statue, in and out. And he ran around. He was wondering, what is this new machine? He could not understand. He could not comprehend. But when he says inside, it's like nothing is there. Like an empty things inside. So he said, oh, I can get it done with this. It's not big problem with me to control this machine. Up till there, there was just a statue. But once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew his soul inside, that is the ruh. That's why the Jewish, told the kuffar of the Makkah to taste our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is claiming he is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, go and ask him the three questions. And amongst those three questions, one was with regard to the ruh. What is the soul? What is the definition of the soul? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered very briefly, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. O my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are asking you with regard to the soul and spirit, tell them that is the amar command of my Lord. And you people are given very little knowledge with regard to the soul. So, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew the soul inside the statue of Adam alayhi salam, it is said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the soul from the head side, slowly by slowly. So, when the soul came on top of the head, then brain started working. Then it comes down, then eye started working, then it comes down, the throat started working. The tongue started working. And it was just tickling into the nose. When the ruh came up till the nose, it was like tickling inside. So when it's tickling inside, our forefather Adam alayhi salam sneezed. When he sneezed, automatically, because tongue has already life, it still already have the ruh. So the first word as a human being came out from the mouth of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was what? Alhamdulillah. Automatically. When the ruh come up to the tongue and it got sneezed, and immediately he said, Alhamdulillah. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the first word came out from human being, from Adam alayhi salam. What was the response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yarhamukallah. The first word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utter for the human being, for the people, is my mercy, yarhamukallah, my mercy be upon you. Because mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need and require in every moment of our life. Without the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot survive. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay, that my mercy has enveloped everything. We are getting rain, we are getting, you know, oxygen, we are surviving, eating, everything counted. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are getting everything. So, when the ruh comes in the body of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded all the angels, now this statue would become alive is so great because my soul has entered in it. Now its position is very lofty, very high. Now you all have to bow down and make sajda to him. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَا وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. So all the angels, regardless, they bow down immediately. So the sajda with the angels did to Adam alayhi salam out of respect, out of honor, is what? It's not because of the statue. Statue was lying there for so many months and days. Angels were there. They didn't care about it. But once the ruh came in, and that made the total difference. He elevated the status of Adam alayhi salam. He exalted the position of Adam alayhi salam, and now Adam alayhi salam becomes Masjudul Malaik. All the angels bow down, that they are superior than us. So that difference came because of the ruh and amar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it is said the ruh and soul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is divine. It's divine spirit. And we cannot comprehend, we cannot understand. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أُوتِيتُمْ إِلَّا كَلِيلًا. You have given very little knowledge about the ruh, don't ask about it. So, car is our body. Our nafs is the driver. And the ruh is the fuel. As long as the tank has the gas, a driver can drive the car. The moment gas finishes, the car is going to get stuck. It's not going to move. So as long as our ruh is inside, right, we are going to function. And the moment his ruh comes out, we are dead. Mayit. Exactly when the gas finishes, car gets stuck. Car is there, physically. It cannot move it. Why? Because there is no gas. So our ruh is fuel of the car. As long as the fuel is in the car, car is going to move. The moment fuel is finished, car will stop over there. So this is the simple example of our life with the soul, with the body, and with the nafs. Ruh is the pure and divine command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the source of life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use in the Holy Quran the word ruh in different meanings. We think and we understand ruh is just the soul or spirit. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word ruh in different meaning in the Holy Quran. Ruh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used as a revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكَذَلِكَ وَحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. And thus we have sent to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ruh, meaning revelation of our command. Surah Al-Zukhruf. Here the ruh, it means the Holy Quran. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُلْكِ الرُّوحَ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ أَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِي. He sends the revelation by his command to any of his slaves he wills. Here also, the ruh means revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in different place, نَزَلَ بِهِ رُوحُ الْأَمِينَ. This revelation, the Holy Quran, has been brought to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through my ruh. And ruh here means Jibreel alayhi salam. Like in Suratul Qadr, you know, we said, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهِ بِأَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. The angels are descending on Laylatul Qadr with the group of angels. There is a ruh. Who is the ruh? Jibreel alayhi salam. Ruhul Quds. So here the ruh means the angel, Jibreel alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. Surah Al-Qadr. Then in other place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned نَزَلَ بِهِ رُوحُ الْأَمِينَ. That here also the ruh means not the our soul, but ruh means Jibreel alayhi salam, who brought down the revelation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. In Surah Al-Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then we sent to her, to whom? To Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, our ruh. Use the word ruh. What meaning here? The ruh means Jibreel alayhi salam. That we sent our ruh for أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. Then we have sent to her, Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, our ruh, Jibreel salam, and he appeared before her in the form of a man in all respect. So here used word ruh for Jibreel alayhi salam. Then in one more place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ نَزَّلَ قُلْ نَزَّلَهُ رُوحُ الْقُدْسِ مِنْ رَبِّكَ بِالْحَقِّ. You must tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that ruh al-Quds, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam, brought it to me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used ruh as a strength and power. وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْهُ. And we have assisted him, we have helped him through our ruh, meaning through our spirit. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. In one place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used word ruh for Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. As all we know, Isa alayhi salam's nickname is Ruhullah, the spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ إِسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَكَلِمَتُهُ أَلْقَاهَا إِلَى مَرْيَمَ وَرُوحٍ مِّنْهُ. Then, Masih, the Isa, the son of Maryam, was the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his word of Kalimatullah, Kalimullah, the Kalimatullah, the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and which he bestowed on Maryam alayhi salam and Allah's spirit. So here, the ruh means the spirit. Now, in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilize for the ruh, nafs. The word nafs, in the beginning I recited the ayat, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Allah is not saying kullu ruhu dha'iqatul maut. The word nafs has been utilized for the ruh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when a righteous person is dying at the time of death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyah. O tranquil soul, come back to your Lord, please, and pleasing. So here the word ruh meaning the nafs. وَمَا أُبَرِيُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارُتُمْ بِسُّ. Another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّهَا كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَجَاءَتْ. Now these are the words utilized in the form of the nafs. And there are three kind of nafs as we know. One is nafs-e ammara. Hazrat Yusuf al-Islam has mentioned وَمَا أُبَرِيُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَتُمْ بِسُّ. That I am not, free, or I am not satisfied with my nafs, my carnal desire. It can guide me towards the wrong side, and it can force me to commit the sin. وَمَا أُبَرِيُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَتُمْ بِسُّ is always forcing me, guiding me towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the Surah Al-Lawwama, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا أُقْسُمُ بِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا أُقْسُمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ. Second category of the nafs is nafs al-lawwama, meaning a person is doing anything, his nafs is criticizing and blaming him. So criticism and blaming is continuously happening through the nafs to the person, that whatever he's doing, whether he's doing good or he's doing bad, in both way, this nafs al-lawwama is criticizing with the human being, saying that even he has done good thing. For example, he performed the salat. Good thing, right? But this nafs is going to blame and criticize. You only did like this, you could do better your salat. You could have long sajda. You should have better qiraat. So even for good amal, this nafs al-lawwama is criticizing and blaming. That you have ability to do better and better, but you only did this much, you could have done better. So that is the blame, that is the nafs al-lawwama. And then when a person is keep on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, practicing on the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by doing this exercise, time will come when your nafs becomes mutma'inna, tranquil, peaceful nafs. And what is that category? That Sharia becomes his natural habit. Meaning, by nature, he's on that stage. By nature, he just don't disobey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By nature, he always do whatever commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he go to that stage, that unmindfully also, he is not committing any sin. Unmindfully also, he is not disobeying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever he is doing, whatever he is saying, is according to the Sharia, according to the Quran and Hadith. So when a person reaches to that stage after the sacrifice, then his nafs become nafs mutmainna. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling him, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatam mardiya. Now you come, you have done your job, Allah is pleased with you, and you are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, we all have to go through the sakarat. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, every nafs has to go through sakarat. What is the sakarat? Sakarat is agony of the death. And every soul, every person, before his dying, that certain period, he goes through with sakarat. You know, detaching from this dunya and going towards akhirah, this disconnection is very difficult. It's very difficult and very hard, very severe. Even the Anbiya alayhim salam, who are masoom, we have aqidah that all the Anbiya alayhim salam are sinless. Right? That high position categories also had to go through the sakarat. Agony of death, they also have to experience, and they also have to feel it. It's not because of the sin. That is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when soul depart from the body, that period is very critical period, very painful period, and it is called agony of the death, sakaratul maut, and that everybody has to go through. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha said, my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was suffering from the fever, very severe fever, for a few days before he passed away. And the last day, on the Monday morning, he was in the hujra of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she said, because Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying on the lap of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and his Mubarak head was on the chest of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa, and he was breathing his last. Ar-Rafiq al-Ala, Ar-Rafiq al-Ala. And at that time, he said, bring the bowl of the water. And he's, you know, putting the cloth into the water and rubbing his Mubarak face. And Sahaba said, his face used to be full with the sweat, redness and sweat. So he used to bring the water, he used to rub on his rib, put it water again, he used to rub on his face like this, continuously. And he was suffering. So, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa, radiallahu ta'ala anha, said that, I used to think, when used to see the person is dying and is suffering before the death, I used to think he's suffering because of his sin. He must have done something wrong, and as a punishment, he's going through with this hardship at the time of death. That's how I used to think. But when I witnessed my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was suffering, so I have changed my perception. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, everyone has sakratul maut. Everybody has to go through with this. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was sitting next to our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that last moment. And when she saw the suffering of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he couldn't bear it. He couldn't control, and she started crying. She burst crying. Ya Abata, what's going on? Why are you suffering so much? You are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are Habibullah. You shouldn't go through with this kind of agony of death and sakarat. Allah loves you. Because of you, Allah created the whole world. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha and said, oh Fatima, this is the last pain your dad is, you know, experiencing. After this, your dad will have no pain anymore. So it shows everyone has to go through with the sakrat, intoxication of the death. That is what you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, that kalla idha balagat taraqiya wa qila man raq wa dhanna annahu al-firaq wal taffati saq bi saq ila rabbika yawma idhin al-masaq. No, when the soul reaches the collar bones and it said, who can cure him? And he realizes that it is the time of parting, and one shark will join to the another one, and to your Lord, that the day will be the, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there, and this is what no one can help in that position. So my brothers, this was Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha said when he saw Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam suffering from the death. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a believing servant is departing from this world and approaching towards the hereafter, the angel descend to him from the heaven, and then the angel of death, the Malakul Maut, says, O good soul, come out to the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his pleasure. And it comes out flowing like a drop of water flowing from a jet. Rasulullah has given this beautiful example that if a righteous soul and is the time of death approaches, then the angels, a group of angels, come down from the Jannah. That in the Holy Quran also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِنْ غَفُورٍ رَحِيمٍ. So the angels bringing the ground, the garment from the Jannah, and the fragrance from the Jannah. And Rasulullah said, they come down and they sit little further from the dying person, and then Malakul Maut comes nearby, and he sit by the head side, and then he's addressing that person who's dying, that don't worry, we are with you. Allah is pleased with you. And look, Allah has granted you this palace of Jannah, these gardens and all this fragrance. So, because when he observing all the his palace in the Jannah, he curious and he becomes so excited. he just comes out so easily, just like you are pouring the water from the jug. You know, the drops of the water coming out from the jug is so easily. No feeling, no trouble, nothing. But on the other side, when the wicked person or sinner person, is dying at the time of death, sinner or kafir or mushrik, the time of death comes, angel descends, a group of angels come down for him too. And they address, "O wicked soul, come out to the anger and the wrath of Allah. Allah is not pleased with you." Then it is pulled out like an iron square being pulled through the wet wool. That is the example given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very severe. Everyone has to experience the sakarat. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as I said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the ruh onto the Adam alayhi salam, he put the ruh from the head side, right? But when the Malakul Maut comes and he snatches the ruh, it starts from the toe side, from the leg side. So first his legs become powerless, lifeless. And then he's snatching, like one of the examples given, that branch of the tree, you put onto the body, and branch goes in every vein. And then he's snatching slowly, slowly, slowly. It's very, very painful. It is very severe. Then the root, comes to the knees, then come to the thigh, then come to the collarbone. And here is gargara starts. Gargara meaning some sound comes out from the dying person. And that is the sign that now his ruh is coming out. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in one of the hadiths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the tawbah of a person until the gargara starts. Once this gargara, this sound starts from his throat, then the door of tawbah is closed. No more tawbah will accept it. Yes, he before that, if he make tawbah or recite the kalima, it's okay. But when the ruh comes through the collarbone and throat, and the voice start coming out from his throat, no more tawbah. Done. And then the ruh comes out from his mouth. That's why you observe a person dying, his mouth is always open. And the last thing, because soul is going out of the body, is no more life in the body. The last thing, his eyes follow. The eyes can see that my ruh, my soul is going upwards. And that is why this eyes is following that ruh. That's why dying person's eyes always up and is open. That is the last thing. His mouth will be open and his eyes, because ruh comes out from the mouth is open and his eyes is follow and see the ruh going up. So that's why his eyes also is open. That is why it is said the person who is nearby the dying person, as soon as person dies, first thing you have to put the, straighten his mouth, jaw, put some sting onto the jaw in the head, close his mouth. If you delay, then mouth will be open. In that few moments, the first thing you have to do is to close his mouth and sting, tight some sting. And then gently you must close his eyes. If you do not close at that 5-10 minutes, then it gets stuck. Then you can not close it. That is the first thing a person should do. And then you must put his hands, towards his thigh, both hands, and then his legs put together, and then tie his toes. Because in this 5-10 minutes, his body is still warm. The blood is still circulating. When the body gets, cold, then you cannot, tie the legs and hands and mouth. It gets stuck. So we have to do these certain things immediately after a ruh is taken away, and you can see the sign and doctor declare that now he's no more. Immediately we should do these things and that's how you must prepare for the mayit. Now, but because of the Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah said, if we have to presume that there is no punishment other than this, the sakarat, it is sufficient and it is enough for us to spend a whole life just preparing for Sakarat. That's how difficult this is what. And that's why Allah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us this dua. We should make this dua every day after every salat. Allahumma a'inni ala sakaratil maut. Allahumma a'inni ala sakaratil maut wa ghamratil maut. This is the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. Then, after the death, but shaheed, who a person who is martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is protected from sakrat. Because he's already sacrificed his life, and one cut of the sword or the one bullet, and he dies in the battlefield, that is sufficient for him. And there is no sakrat. Immediately, his soul goes out from the body and goes to the Jannah. No question. He goes to the Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him into the form of the birds, and the birds are flying in the Jannah immediately. There is no sakarat for shaheed, martyr. There is no question for the martyr. He's a sincere person. He sacrificed his whole life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person becomes shaheed, don't even put on kafan, don't change his clothes, and don't even give the ghusl. There is no necessity of giving ghusl. There is no necessity to shroud into the coffin. In the same position, with the same clothes, while he's bleeding, does perform Salatul Janada and buried him. On the Yawmul Qiyamah, he will get up from his grave bleeding. And he's showing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look, Allah ta'ala sacrificed my life for your Islam, for your sake. So that is the position of the shaheed. But other than shaheed, we have to shroud and we have to give the ghusl and we have to do all the procedure. But this is exception for only for shaheed. Now my brothers and sisters, understand, these are the two things after the death. One is the fitna of death, and one is the azab of qabr. Two different things. Fitna, trial and tribulation. Everyone will go through with fitna. And that is why we have to make this dua also. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azab al-qabr wa min fitnat al-qabr wa fitnat al-masih al-dajjal. This is the dua recommended by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what is the fitna of the qabr and what is the azab of the qabr? Fitna of the qabr, when a person dies, then his ruh go up. If it's righteous ruh, and then in every heaven is welcomed and angels are praising him, then it goes all the way up, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become pleased with him, and he says send him down to his body, and we are going to resurrect him again on the Yawmul Qiyamah. Same ayat, mina khalaqnakum wa fiyan wa'idukum wa mina nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. When body comes down into the ruh comes down into the body, and person is buried inside a grave, then the two angels enter into the grave, Munkar and Nakir. In one riwayat, one angel is a blue and other angel is a dark black. Another riwayat says the both angels are dark black appearance, but their eyes are blue. And they are very, very terrifying appearance. Some of the ulama said if there is no azab of qabr, just seeing just Munkar Nakir is sufficient for him as azab. That's how terrible and horrifying appearance this Munkar Nakir is. One day Hazrat Ibrahim asked Munkar Nakir that how you come in the grave, show me your real face. So they say, yeah Ibrahim, you won't be able to tolerate it. You won't be able to see us. How is Ibrahim alayhi salam is the Nabi of Allah, Rasulullah. He said, no, I just want to see. So he said, okay, turn your face. When Ibrahim alayhi salam turned his face, and he said, okay, now look at us. When Ibrahim alayhi salam saw the terrible face of the Munkar and Nakir, he fell down, unconscious, for a while. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam, being Rasul of Allah, Khalilullah, couldn't tolerate the appearance and looking of the Munkar Nakir, how we are going to be. That's why it is so, so difficult, my brothers and sisters, to prepare for hereafter. So, Now, there are two things that when a person is dying, we are shrouding him with the kafan cloth and we are giving him ghusl to the body. But if a righteous person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the groups of the angels with Malakul Maut and they bring the special garment for the soul. So we shroud with the kafan and our soul has been shrouded with the garments of paradise. On the body, we give the ghusl, we put some perfume and ether, right, to make some good smell on the body, which is going to be perished and finished. As for the soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the fragrance from the Jannah. And when they take out the ruh from the body, they shroud with the garment of the Jannah and they put the fragrance of paradise onto the soul. And that fragrance, with the fragrance, it takes him to the heaven. So angels are smelling those fragrance and they know by fragrance, this is a righteous person. So they welcome him, they greet him, and they make dua for him. As for the wretched person, wicked person, sinner, kuffar and mushrik, the cloth comes from the hell, the firing cloth, and it's wrapped in that, soul is wrapped in that firing cloth. And very, very severe, hideous smell comes out from the hellfire. And the soul is wrapped with that. When the soul goes up, angels taking him up. So when the angels of the heaven smell this bad smell, that isn't like, they don't like it. And they don't open the gates of the heaven for this wicked soul to go up. So from the first heaven, without entering inside, they are rejected. They don't get permission to get in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, throw him down. Illiyin, Sijjil. The soul of the wicked people are being registered in Sijjil, the below the earth. And the ruh of the righteous person, naked person, has been written down into Illiyin, which is on the heaven, the register of the heaven. This is the difference between the obedience and disobedient servants. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, every soul will taste the death. Beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, remember your destroyer of your pleasure, meaning your death. Now, one person is dying. I don't have enough time now. We have to conclude. So, there are certain things, my brothers and sisters, we have to be careful. Number one, if you see a person in his last moment, you can see his legs are turned, his nose turns a little bit. You can see the sweat on his forehead. These are some signs that definitely his ruh is taken away. So before that, we have to do, to help him out, recite Suratul Yasin. In so many riwayat, it is mentioned, if the Suratul Yasin has been recited at the person at the time of death, it makes his ruh easy to come out. It comforts the soul. That is the time, Sakarat is very difficult time, very hard time. But because of the barakat of Suratul Yasin, because Suratul Yasin is the heart of the whole Quran. And what is there in Suratul Yasin? Suratul Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed Tawheed, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Risalat, the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Akhirat. All three major subject of the Holy Quran. Holy Quran has been divided in these three topics. All these topics has been revealed in Suratul Yasin, and that is why it is called a Qalbul Quran, the heart of the Holy Quran. So when a person is listening, when he has sense, he's listening the Yasin Sharif, he's remembering about Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it reminds him to recite Kalma Tawheed, and he's listening about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will help him to give the answer in the Qabr when the Munkar Nakir will question him, who is this personality? He already listened to Yasin Sharif, he remember, this is my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I used to follow him in my lifetime, and the Akhirah. Because after the death, he's going to the different world, Alam-e-Barzakh. it is going to help him out. That's why it is recommended that the Suratul Yasin should be recited in front of the dying person. But it will help him up till the sakarat does not start. And he has the sense, he can listen, he can see, he can understand. But once sakarat starts, then all the mind is off, his brain gets off. He cannot listen, he cannot see properly, he cannot recognize anybody. At the time of death, unfortunately, what we do, we bring his grandson, granddaughter in front of him, showing him. That's all rubbish. We should not do that. Because that is the time, is very critical. Shaitan comes with his all followers and is trying to snatch away his iman. That is very difficult time to remember and recite the kalima. It's not that easy, because Iblis and devil is trying his best that he must live without iman. That is a challenge he has done in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I am going to misguide your people and the children of Adam, and maximum amount of children of Adam I will take with me into the hellfire. And that's why the most he's trying whole life, but the most he's trying at the time of death. And different way he comes in front of the dying person and try to divert his attention from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to worldly thing, to something else, to his house, to his bank balance, to his wife, to his children, dividing his attention, so he should not read the kalima. Once he doesn't read kalima, die without kalima, then it's done. That person is going to go to the hell. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah." This is the condition. That his last word from his tongue should be kalima tawheed. If he's not reciting that, then definitely he is a wicked person, he is a sinner, and he is going to end up into the hellfire. Allah protect all of us. So the person who is nearby, the dying person, number one, he should try to recite the Suratul Yasin until a dying person had the sense. When he signs that there is no sense, he is not recognizing, his eyes looking up, and he is not responding, then stop reading Yasin Sharif, because now is no more going to help him out, because he lost his sense. He cannot understand. So there is no use of reciting Suratul Yasin at that moment. Before that, we should do the talqeen to the mayyit, dying person. And what is the talqeen? We should read loudly, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasuluh. We should keep on reciting. Don't force him to say kalima. Because he is suffering, he is battling. One side is shaitan, one side is pain of the death, and he is losing his sense. And if you force him to recite kalima, he might utter some word, which is the word of kufr and shirk, and he will die, or refuse to recite kalima, because he is not in sense. So don't force him, you recite by yourself. If he is listening, and if he is reciting by himself, even you cannot hear, if you can see that his lips are moving, that is sufficient for you to understand, alhamdulillah, he is reciting something. And that is the kalima. And once he recites a kalima, then don't force to repeat again and again and again. One time is sufficient. Then leave him alone, let him die with that one kalima. Don't talk after that. But after reciting kalima, for example, he woke up and he says something, worldly things, then you have to repeat the kalima again. But once he's done kalima and he's not talking, that is the sufficient, that is done his last kalima, and now that is sufficient, he died on iman. So we don't force him on the talqeen, but we should keep on reciting by ourselves. By listening our voice, he will be able to. And look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said, the mercy of Allah has enveloped everything. Ulama explain the kalima la ilaha illallah. Kalima la ilaha illallah. To read the kalima la ilaha illallah, we don't need lip service. For other words, ba, jim, we need lip service to pronounce it. But la ilaha illallah is the kalima, we don't need the lip service. Meaning, at the time of that, a person is very, very sick, fragile, he got no power, no strength, he cannot move anything, he cannot even move his lips, he's that weak. but still he can pronounce kalima without moving the lips. You try, you say la ilaha illallah, you don't need lips to move. It comes out automatically from your tongue. Allah made it so simple, so easy to recite the kalima, that Allah has chosen the words for kalima, those words which doesn't require to pronounce with the lips. So that's easily a person can recite kalima, but it's not that easy, because our whole life, it is said, the way, you know, tamutuna kama tuhyun wa tuhsharuna kama tamutun, that you are going to die in a state you live your life, and you are going to resurrect that in the state you are die, you died. Meaning is all linked to each other. The entire life should be in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then and then only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, Ya ayyatun nafsul mutmainna irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyah fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. And if during the lifetime you are on and off, sometimes to pray, sometimes to leave, sometimes to fast, sometimes to not fast, then at the time of death there is no guarantee that you are going to able to recite the kalima. The way you live, in the same position you're going to die, and the position you die on the Yawmul Qiyamah, you are going to resurrect in the same way. So my brothers and sisters, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to live our life according to commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way shown by beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and our khatma bil khair. This is the dua we should always make in after every salat, that Allah grant us the tawfiq to recite the kalima in the time of death. My brother, when a person is dying, then immediately there are few things we have to do. Immediately we have to call to the doctor to finalize and make sure that he is really dead, and he give the certificate. The next thing, we should try to bury a person as soon as possible. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, to delay the mayyit is makruh. Sometimes we delay because somebody is coming from outside, somebody coming from overseas, and you waiting for that mayyit. It is said, if he's a righteous person, you should take him immediately to his place, he's waiting for it. Or if he's a wicked person, don't keep it in the house. Because if the long you keep in the house, what will happen? Sometime the bad smell start coming out from it. And you delaying unnecessarily, that is not allowed in the Sharia. We should try to bury as soon as possible. Yes, if it's the problem with the paperwork, with the hospital, with the burial, with the grave is not ready, and all these circumstances is not in our control, then you have to delay, it's a different story. But other than that, just to wait for the relatives to come and delay the mayyit for that reason is not allowed in the Sharia. We should try to bury him, take the mayyit as soon as possible. And when a person is dying in that house, in that room particular, not in the house, in that particular room, we should not recite the Holy Quran until that mayyit has been taken out and given the ghusl. Because up till the ghusl, the mayyit becomes impure, napak. And the mayyit is lying in that same room, we should not open the Quran and recite, because it's disrespect for the Quran. Yes, in different rooms of that same house, you can read. But in the particular room where mayyit has been placed, we should not open the Quran and recite on that particular room. You should go to the other side until the ghusl is done. Then next to it, you can sit down and you can recite the Suratul Yasin. One more thing, that when we go to the Qabristan and when we bury the mayyit, then mayyit can hear our footsteps. We are going away from the qabr. He can, because the ruh comes down from the heaven and into the body, and Munkar Nakir is already there and is setting him up. And if he's a righteous person, he feels when Munkar Nakir wake him up and the ruh comes down in the body, he become awake. Munkar Nakir, at that time he feels like asr time. So when Munkar Nakir start questioning, he said, leave me alone, let me pray my asr salat. Because he's so used to with salat. It is his nature, it is his habit. He said, I cannot miss my salat. So angel understand this is the righteous soul. He said, you don't have to pray salat, now you are dead, we came to question you. But that is a time in the grave he will feel. Now, it comes in the riwayat that the close relatives should not bury and go away from the qabr. Because that is very critical time. Rasulullah Sallam said that you should sit down nearby the qabr and make dua maghfirat and isale sawab, Quran Sharif, Yasin Sharif, or whatever you can read at the time. You should keep on reciting, making dua for the mayyit, because that is the three questions. Man rabbuka ma deenuka ma taqulu li hadha rajul, who is your Lord, what religion you used to follow, and who is this personality. This question will be asked to everybody. And azab of qabr, my brothers and sisters, is inevitable for everybody, regardless he's got the qabr or not. Sometime he's drowned in the ocean, or he's burned out, or some lion or some creature has eaten up, is in the stomach of the lion. There is no qabr, right? But Allah knows where is his soul. Allah knows where is his remnant is remaining. And the azab start on that point. So azab-i-qabr is a reality, and no one can deny about it. And it is the real thing. It's proven by Hadith and Quran. So we should believe in that regard. We don't understand how azab-i-qabr is going on, because it's totally different one. Inshallah, some other time we'll go with the barzakh and azab-i-qabr, inshallah, some other program. But so see, they say about 45 minutes. It comes in the Hadith that you must remain nearby the qabr and keep on reciting kalima, making dua and maghfirat, for the camel can be slaughtered and distributed. That is the word comes in the Hadith. A camel can be slaughtered and distributed. That much of time we have to stay nearby qabr. Now, according to calculation of the fuqaha, it takes about 40-45 minutes to slaughter the camel and make pieces of the camel. So at least 45 minutes to 1 hour, the close relatives should stay nearby the qabr and keep on making dua and maghfirat and isal sawab. So it becomes easy. The mayyat inside can feel somebody is there upstairs and is nearby me. He can feel that comfort and that company, and it becomes easy for him to answer the question of munkar and nakir. Make dua, may Allah Ta'ala grant all of us husn-e khatima, and we all can die with the iman. But for that we have to work hard throughout our life. We have to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way shown by our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brothers and sisters, very soon